This is another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
Red Apple Audio Networks, another Side of Midnight. How many sides? 6 minutes past the hour. A remarkable statement was made about a week ago by former Congressman Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz said that he was in, well, I'll tell you in a second what he said, but it's so remarkable that John Catsimatidis, the owner of the Red Apple Audio Networks and host of Cats and Cosby, a great broadcaster, a great entrepreneur, on the phone with us now. We both said, well, how do we get a hold of Senator, how do we get a hold of Senator Gaetz? I mean, I'm sorry, Congressman Gaetz, lots going on. Congressman Gaetz. And Kat said, well, I know him. My daughter knows him. We'll get a hold of him. Congressman Gaetz, are you there tonight? Are you with us tonight?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Walter. Thanks for having me on. I can't wait to discuss everything going on. First, certainly want to thank the big cat for reaching out, and good to have a chance to speak with your audience.
It's an honor to meet you with my listener. I get to meet you with the listener at the very same time. I have followed you for a long time. I lived in Florida for a year. Know of your work. Know how respected you were among your constituents. And then there was a lot of excitement relative to the job that I, Walter Sterling, felt strongly you should have been able to take as Attorney General of the United States. But believe it or not, you made a statement about 10 days ago that was even bigger than being Attorney General of the United States. And it's about aliens, and it's about our government. Could I ask you to just step back a second and take all the time you want to restate what you said?
Sure. I was in my final year of my final term in Congress, and I was told that a constituent wanted to meet with me who was serving in the United States Army, very well-known 7th Special Forces Green Beret group that was at Camp Bull Simons in my district. When I got these type of meetings, sometimes it would be about child care. Sometimes it would be about a vaccine exemption. And so I didn't really know what to expect. And this guy walked in, and he had two. He was in uniform. He was a senior enlisted service member. He had two kind of gray-haired guys in suits that joined him that he said were with high-end defense contractors, and they indeed confirmed that they were. And he laid out to me that he would be leaving the military soon, but wanted to let me know before he left that he was aware of hybrid breeding programs where captured extraterrestrials were bred with abducted humans to create a hybrid race that the military believed could communicate then with both, you know, people here on Earth and people elsewhere. And I was shocked by the briefing. I had two of my staff with me. I had my general counsel with me, and I had my senior military attaché with me. And when the briefing occurred, the request from this whistleblower was that in these various locations around the country, I would have members of Congress all show up at one time, because he alleged that this was a very mobile enterprise, and that if all members of Congress showed up at these different places at one time, this would be found out and exposed, and this was a service member very upset by this. And that was that we didn't take action on it, but at the end of the day, we were unable to confirm some of the elements of the story. But it did strike me as one of the strangest briefings I ever got.
Matthew Gaetz, I can't even imagine what your gut reaction was. John Catsimatidis, do you have an initial reaction to what Matthew has told us?
Well, you know, I've been a believer of what's going on for a very long time. And there's things we all know that we can't talk about. Tonight being Easter night, I will repeat to you what I'm the highest ranking layperson in the Greek Orthodox Church, what an archbishop once told me. And when an archbishop once told me, when we had a discussion on the way to the West Coast on an airplane, it was just me and him, and I asked him, Your Eminence, what is the church's position on this? And you know what he said? He says, what makes you think our Creator only left his seeds on just one planet?
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at AmericaCures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Are you stuck staring at your W-2? Are tax refund worries holding you back? You probably have FOMO, the fear of messing up. The fix? Using TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They find every credit and deduction to help you get every refund dollar you deserve or your money back. It's time to overcome your fear of messing up and get your taxes done right. Start filing today in the Credit Karma app.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
So
well, now,
I don't know if Matt, Congressman, I refer to a lot of people. If everybody looks at the Washington Post in 1952, July of 1952, front page of the Washington Post, there were 50 UFOs circling the capital of the United States of America. And there was no such thing as drones those days. And I understand that through some of my sources that President Eisenhower met with them and that a deal was struck. And you haven't seen them circling the Capitol at all in the last since then. And I don't know exactly what the deal was, but I do know that a committee was set up by President, whether it was Truman or Eisenhower, I don't know. But one of the people on a committee was Herbert, President Bush at that time, whatever his position was. The head of the CIA or whatever, whatever they called it. Maybe it wasn't called the CIA in 1952.
Congressman Getz, when you were told this about alien hybrid, human hybrid experiments being done by the government, you said some of it was not confirmable. What was confirmable? What part of that story were you able to say, oh, that's true, we found this out, that's true? What part of the story about alien-human hybrid did you believe as a congressman, as a lawyer, as a potential attorney general? I mean, you're a smart guy, and there must have been some parts of that story where you said no way, but other parts that made you go, probably.
Well, the only things we were able to confirm related to the identity and mission set of the people giving us the briefing. And those were real people from, real missions at real military components giving us the briefing. Beyond that, no one on my staff believed this conduct was occurring. They all thought this was bogus. I have to say, at times I wondered if I was being punked in some way But what makes it hard to discount, Walter, is how challenging it's been to get just basic information. You know, when we have asked about craft recovery, which has occurred, we get the runaround. When we want to interview pilots who've had encounters, the military goes to extraordinary lengths to keep those folks away from us. And yeah, now we see that, like, I guess the two things you don't want on your LinkedIn are that you are an Iranian negotiator or someone who's been anywhere around UAP research, because you end up missing pretty quickly with either of those professions currently.
What I have wondered about, Matt, is why, if these crafts are landing, if they are spending government money on alien human hybrid, if there are black ops budgets that run through the Congress and Senate, secret budgets, billions of dollars, to be my guess, to deal with UAPs, UFOs. The overriding question I've always had is, well, why is this being kept from us? What is the problem with us knowing the information? And the only suspicion I've got, and I really be curious about what you think, is that the minute it becomes known that there are aliens from outer space or aliens from a different time or an alien from a different universe, that they are part of our culture, part of our society, part of our Earth, the people in power become much less powerful.
I also think it has a lot to do with the movement of money. I think that if this were broadly accepted, the impact on markets and asset classes would shift, and that would create a lot of losers who want to maintain value where they currently have it. At the same time, I'm not entirely sure that there are billions of dollars in black ops budgets going to this. I have a rising suspicion that a whole lot of the actual research and work and spending of funds and facilities are funded by private entities, aligned contractors, subcontractors with some of these major defense enterprises. And I say that because there's been a lot of literature on who, if anyone, has benefited from craft recovery, reverse engineering, technological exploration. And a lot of times it's been these private sector entities, and moving the spending and the assets there creates an additional layer of secrecy.
The big propulsion, jet propulsion companies, the Bell Laboratories, the Grummans, all of the companies involved in basic research, reverse engineering, who would be using lasers, computer chips, night vision,
plasma,
all of those companies that could profit from this, it has always been suspected that they are the ones who benefit from it, that first the U.S. government retrieves these crafts and then sells off pieces to these different private enterprises. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sells it or just gives it to them, just in exchange for, entities like Lockheed Martin doing the reverse engineering. They get access to the stuff, and that allows the federal government to not have to have too many government hands on that stuff. But if you look at some of the technologies that have emerged out of the Air Force, out of some of these defense contractors, there's rising suspicion that it may be reverse engineered at some level.
Now, Matt Gaetz, when you were in Congress, how often, if ever, were you given updates, formal updates on, yes, we retrieved a craft, this is what we learned about it? Were you ever sat down in a skiff and said, here's what's going on?
Well, I think the most compelling moment on that specific fact emerged in an open hearing with David Grush, who talked about the specific CIA elements who were engaged in craft retrieval, how that craft retrieval had led to the development of biologics, and how the testing of those biologics showcased non-human elements. And so that was that hearing took years just to get. And you know, with Mr. Grush there, the whole world heard that information. We on the Armed Services Committee, you know, I served on that committee for 8 years. We would get briefings on UAPs often when we would do installation visits. You know, I would go to Eglin Air Force Base, or I would go to you know, San Diego and the Navy base there, and you would meet, and part of the threat package briefing would be, oh gosh, you know, we had airspace closed this day because you know, we had some UAPs. And sometimes folks would shrug and say, yeah, a drone, a weather balloon, and maybe that would have been the case in some times. But there were other times I met with pilots who said they encountered craft, you know, that were not explainable in those ways. And sometimes getting to those pilots was very challenging through the military leadership.
Well, I think it would be great, Congressman Matt Gaetz, if you would consider taking some questions from the Red Apple Network listeners. Would you do that?
Happy to. Always good to be with you. Happy to chat with your listeners.
All right. Let me give a phone number. If you have a question for Congressman Matt Gaetz about his amazing statement that he was informed when he was in Congress that there are, in fact, alien human hybrid experiments taking place right now, conducted by the U.S. government, plus John Catsimatidis, owner of the Red Apple Audio Networks, here to answer your questions at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, Walter Sterling, Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. This is the Worldwide News Network Extra.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is trying to stop a local county from spending taxpayer dollars on the legal defense of illegal immigrants. Conservatives say it's absolutely the right move.
Fight for taxpayers, fight for what is right, fight for common sense, and fight for American citizens.
That's Kyle Sinclair with the Republican Party in Bexar County. He says the legal defense fund is a waste of money. He points to studies that show well over 90% of those who apply for asylum are getting their cases thrown out of court. Sinclair continuing.
We have one of the worst debt per capita in the nation, and yet the county decides to use taxpayer funds for illegal immigrants, but county taxpayers, people who live in Bexar County, will actually be on the foot for at least up to 80, if not 100% of the bill.
I'm James Flippin, and this is the Worldwide News Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
All right, Walter Sterling and you at Red Apple Audio Networks, Another Side of Midnight, and there is the great John Catsimatidis, who owns the Red Apple Audio Networks, who also happens to be a fan and a student of UFOs and UAPs, and we have the prime teacher. We have Matt Gaetz, former U.S. congressman, who was actually informed that the government is conducting human-alien hybrid breeding experiments. And you might have some questions about that. Here's the number. You can talk to Matt Gaetz at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is a live radio show, and I look forward to talking with you at 800-848-9222. Fran, is Fran there? Did Fran go? Fran went. All right, coming up, is that Fran? Can we talk to Fran? Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Excellent. Good morning. Thank you very much for calling. Do you have a question for Matt Gaetz?
Yes, but just first, Mr. Catsimatidis, thank you so much for all you do for us, for New York, for America. The station is incredible. You're incredible. It's a wonderful thing. In my life, you know, in the last year, I've wanted to talk to all three of you or meet you. And here it is, all three of you together.
You can meet all of us if you're buying.
Yeah. Oh, you kidding me? I'll buy three times.
All right.
But it's just funny. I wake up in the middle of the night. I wake up in the middle of the night and all three is it together. It's incredible.
And I have to thank my daughter, AJ, Andrea Katsimatidis, for putting me and Matt Getz together.
Yes, and I just like to say, too, I didn't know how many children or if you had children, John, but it just goes to show you what a great parent you are, that they're never in the news for the wrong reasons. You're a wonderful guy, and I love everything about the radio station. Thank you for everything you do. My question is this. I'm sitting here, and I like I said, I like all three is, I respect all three is, and I believe all three is, but I just, it's hard to believe. You know what I mean? It's amazing that I'm 61 and there could be some kind of alien out, you know, anything. I believe that there is another power out there. Like you said, John, God didn't just put a seed here. I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's an amazing thing. But why, my point would be, why hasn't it come out? Why haven't we seen an alien, a ship? You know what I mean? I know we've seen like UFOs, but why is it in certain areas? And it's just such a fascinating thing. And the government, look at Matt, my question to you would be, I mean, look at you. The government is so strong that they blackmailed you, I think. And all of a sudden now you're not in the government. You know what I mean? You know, congressman or the attorney general. And what do you say about that? I just think that there's just a higher power. And it's unbelievable. How do you make me a believer? I'm trying.
Well, thanks for the kind words. And it is unbelievable. And I'm not entirely sure I believe it, right? Share a briefing I received. The person that gave me that briefing could have been wrong. They could have been lying. They could have thought they've seen something they didn't see. They could have been passing along secondhand information. It was remarkable to me that I was even getting that briefing, almost unbelievable. And what makes me continue to ask questions from my role now in the media is that they don't seem to want to answer them. You know, like you say, Fran, well, how come we haven't found more stuff? Like, what if we have? What if we have found more stuff and they won't answer questions about the stuff we have found? And then when you talk about certain areas, I'll share with you a theory that my fellow Congressman Tim Burchett holds, and it's not one I've fully fleshed out to the league. But Burchett believes there are certain areas that get more of this activity because the reason some of these beings are stopping off here is for resource extraction. You know, why haven't they been hostile to us? If they've been here just for conquest of us, why haven't they started wars or killed a bunch of people? Burchett believes this is a stop off on a journey, and that in certain places, particularly where there's a great deal of water or other resources they need, you get a high concentration of activity, and then they're on their way.
Congressman Matt Getz on Another Side of Midnight, answering questions about UFOs, UAPs, and secret briefings that he was given when he was in Congress. The fact that you and another congressman talked about why are the aliens here tells me that the aliens are here. Silas, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with John Katsimatidis, Walter Sterling, and Congressman Matt Getz. Hi, Silas.
Yeah, I wanted to float another theory. Maybe the creator or whatever force created things, maybe it did drop one seed in this galaxy, which would be mankind, to find out if we were able to grow, if we were able to finally smarten up and work together. We, just like a seed in the ground can grow to a large acorn, a seed on planet Earth could grow and start to populate the galaxy. Maybe we're the only ones right now. And the sooner we smarten up and work together, the sooner we'll travel into outer space. And I also believe that maybe the UFO thing could just be something that they're keeping up to keep making money. Like, you know, the government obviously has made up a lot of lies to us so they could keep funding something that could be phony. They could say, well, we found vampires and we want to keep funding this program for people who want to become billionaires, but they don't want to do the work like Katz and Mercedes. So this is just a vehicle for them to keep funding stuff.
Silas, thank you very much for the call. Congressman Gatt, did you ever get the feeling that there were a number of propaganda lines about UFOs and UAPs and perhaps other areas that were being pushed by a variety of sources to just keep money flowing to them? Do you ever suspect that?
We're the only ones right now.
Silas, thank you very much.
We'll be starting up and work together.
Thank you.
Congressman Gatz, what do you think about that? That a lot of these stories were floated to keep funding various projects?
I think that we would see more of that at a higher level. Again, I'm not aware of a great federal expenditure on this. They may exist, and that may be within some of the black budgets in the Intelligence Committee I didn't see. I did crack a smile at Silas's remarks about sort of this duty of mankind to have this manifest destiny across the galaxy. And it's similar to how Elon Musk talks, right? That this is like the obligation of mankind to become the multiplanetary species. So I think Silas and Elon may have been drawing from some of the same inspiration.
Nicely put. You and I are on WGN in Chicago. We're proud to be on WGN in Chicago. Ken in Brooklyn, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with John Catsimatidis, Walter Sterling, and Congressman Matt Gatz. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to ask either or. The subject of religion was brought up by John Catsimatidis. I just wanted to know how much has been, as far as things in the Bible about resurrection, and I just wanted to know about that, and also how's that connected to the UFO controversy, and also what if they've done hybridization? This is the second question. Is what? How many people that have been hybridized are in our government? Those are my two questions.
So you're talking about the lizard people running our government? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about actual hybrids that actually look like humans that are in Congress and in our government.
Ken, thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call, Ken. I appreciate it. 800-848-9222. I don't think any of us are qualified to determine how many alien hybrids are currently in Congress, but I'm sure there are many theories about that. John Catsimatidis and Congressman Matt Gatz are on Another Side of Midnight answering questions about an amazing conversation that Matt Gatz had when he was still in Congress. Grown-ups came to... Go ahead, Matt.
This is John Catsimatidis. Oh, I wanted to say something. Is that the planet Earth, if you look at it very carefully, is a living entity. It makes corrections to itself. The purpose of hurricanes, the purpose of typhoons, the purpose of is to control the overall temperature of the planet Earth. We've talked about it before. The oil that people used to call fossil fuels is not fossil fuels. The planet Earth makes the oil to create, within the plates of the Earth to create a lubricant factor. That's why in places like Oklahoma, if you frack too much and you take too much oil out of the system, you end up with earthquakes until the planet Earth really readjusts itself. And the other thing I believe in, that the intelligence community, and this goes back a zillion years, and Matt, you're someplace in California now, that in Hollywood, the intelligence community used to feed information to Hollywood to keep them abreast of, just in case something happened, it wouldn't be a total surprise to all the American citizens. And I believe that Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, if you look back at Star Trek, the amount of information that they were feeding you is coming 60 years later. I think Star Trek is out for 60 years. Some of that stuff is coming to fruition. And I remember looking at some of the Star Trek shows from the early 1990s, and they were using iPads and iPhone-type instruments. I was told that not Gene Roddenberry's father or mother, that somebody older than that, and grandfather, was in the intelligence community back in those days, which is a long time ago. And the other thing that that Congressman Getz said is possibly a lot of this money is not funded by the government, so nobody has to make disclosures, and that the people that President Eisenhower possibly put together took some of this knowledge that came from some of those UFOs, because our intelligence, our since 1947, we have moved at warp speed on medicine, on technology, et cetera, warp speed. And that they were giving slowly stuff to, like, Bell Labs and Lockheed and other organizations, Grumman, and gave them information, and because of giving the information, a lot of that stuff was funded by private industry. That way, it wasn't disclosable to Congress, et cetera, et cetera. And I turn it over to Matt, Congressman Getz.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, the allegation that was made to me, and to be clear, this was just an allegation about the hybrid program. The purpose was not to reintroduce hybrids into society to live among us and get elected to public office. The limited purpose was to have the hybrids as a communication vessel to other extraterrestrials, that the belief was the only way to have an effective line of communication was through this program. So I found that to be, you know, interesting, but again, unconfirmed. And, you know, there's been a lot of literature about how that warp speed that John just referenced, you know, benefited from stuff that the U.S. government gave these defense contractors. And if they were giving satellite access, if they were giving internet code, if they were giving all this other stuff, you know, of course, if there was craft recovery, and I do believe there's been craft recovery based on the sworn testimony we've received that's been unrefuted, that probably made it into the same information stream back to those defense contractors.
Congressman,
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Did you the two-star general that's missing? Have you ever met him at all? You know, for all of our guests that don't know that.
Yeah, I did not know General McCaslin. However, I have known multiple other people who had the same, which is running the Air Force Research Lab. Most of the people who have run the Air Force Research Lab, you know, have at one point or another made their way through Eglin Air Force Base, which is in my old district in North Florida. So, you know, I know a number of people who've been in that talent pipeline. I did not know General McCaslin. I think it's crazy, by the way, Walter and John, that you don't have the FBI out there affirming that they are looking into the work-related connections of these people who had access to the UAP program and who have disappeared, with, in some cases, with very little trace of evidence.
General McCaslin's, Major General McCaslin's wife, when she called 911, and this was just released a couple days ago, her 911 call was just released, she explained that her husband was very methodical and would not have left without the wallet, would not have left without the watch, unless he wanted to not be found. Those were her words. She knew her husband. She said the only way he would leave without that phone and without that watch is he made a decision to not be found. And I think the reason, and I think John's question is exactly right, I think the reason that the FBI is not looking is they don't need to. They know exactly what happened. Karen, you're on Another Side of Midnight with Matt Gaetz and John Catsimatidis. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to speak with all of you. In Genesis 6, we have a group of angels that came down on Mount Hermon. They defected from, they were supposed to, their abode was actually in the heavenlies. And they disobeyed God, and they came down here and took on human form. Now, you read in Genesis 6 that they took wives for themselves. They were human women, and they mated with them, and they created giants. These were hybrids. These were angelic and human hybrids. And they were very violent on the earth.
Well, Karen, with respect, and happy Easter. There's nothing there that we can confirm or review. We just don't have the evidence in front of us. Thank you very much for calling Another Side of Midnight at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Norman, you're on Another Side of Midnight. Hi.
Good morning, Walter. Good morning, Mr. Catsimatidis, and good morning, Congressman Gaetz. I don't believe any of this. I'm extremely skeptical. I believe what I can see, what I can hear, and what I can smell. As far as this goes, it is an allegation to Congressman Gaetz. This is not, apparently, this is nothing he absolutely saw with his eyes. And, when I see the aliens in front of me, then I will say, yes, there are aliens. Until then, this is all just theory.
Go to the Washington Post in July 1952 and tell me about the 50 UFOs circling the Capitol, and you go from there, okay?
Thanks very much for the call, Norman. Thank you very much for the call at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I would be remiss as a broadcaster, Congressman Gaetz. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you, former candidate for Attorney General of the United States, your personal reflection, thought, opinion, freedom of speech opinion, about what happened to Attorney General Bondi this week.
I think she will go down as one of America's great crime fighters. I think that what she did to the cartels will create more safety and opportunity for Americans for a long time. I think that her expansion of executive power has paved the way for a lot of the deportations that were successful. She beat back those nationwide injunctions that were hampering administration. So I think it's a great success. You know, I also think that there'll be a new era with Todd Blanche. I know him well. He's the acting attorney general now. And I think you're going to see a lot of activity in the prosecution of some of the Russia hoax activity and the weaponization against the country.
Hello.
Well, he must have dropped off. We'll get him back on again.
Yeah.
You asked me the same question. I will say to you, one of the items that I was concerned about with Christy Noem, and I've known her, and again, my daughter knowed her, the fact is, when I met with the president before the election of November 2024, I said to him that 80% of the people want to get rid of all the killers, the major criminals, the drug dealers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think the American people have a heart. We didn't want to get necessarily go after the nannies, the waiters, the busboys, the cab drivers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we could deal with that later. But the major item was let's get rid of the major criminals that were endangering the United States citizens. And I think that's one of the items. I can't speak for the president, but I've had discussions. But I think that was one of the major items that and Tom Homan, who got the major portion of the job to take care of things in Minnesota, I believe that's his beliefs too.
And Katz, in your opinion, what do you think was the linchpin that ended Bondi's time here?
The key item?
Yes. Yes.
She lied.
She what?
She lied.
What was the lie?
I know the story. I know it firsthand.
Please tell. Can you tell the story?
Senator John Kennedy,
yes,
and talked to the president and says, "You want me to ask you that question?" And during his Senate hearings, Senator John Kennedy went and asked her the question. You spent $220 million promote yourself riding a horse and being a hero. Did the president know that you were spending that $220 million? And she said, yes, he knew. And that was 100% lie. And that really, I'm allowed to say on the air, pissed off the president.
Yeah, you can say that. That's a good thing to say.
That pissed off the president.
Then he had no choice. When you're dealing with that kind of money and those kind of positions, it didn't even matter what the lie was about.
$220 million of her riding a horse and getting rid of the nannies and the busboys and the waiters.
In that position,
I gave you my 2 cents.
No, I believe you. In that position, anybody who throws away that kind of money did not have permission to have that kind of money. It didn't even matter what it was for. It's a dynamic between you and your boss, and she lied. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
John Katsimatidis, it is an honor to have you on Another Side of Midnight to upgrade the broadcast in a way that that few can. I totally enjoy having you on the show. And it'd be very easy for me to say that to, you know, Kiss, but it's just a radio fact. You're just a treat.
Well, I'm glad Congressman Matt Gaetz had come on. I guess he got knocked off someplace. I'm sure he'll be on again with us. And he's a very smart guy. And the only thing I was upset with him on was the time that he voted against my friend Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, my God. Yes, I agree. No, he's welcome here anytime.
But he's a very smart guy and cares about America.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, great guest on Another Side of Midnight. John Katsimatidis, terrific. Always a pleasure to have you here, sir. Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. April is Autism Acceptance Month, a time to recognize, understand, and support the millions of individuals living with autism. Autism, or autism spectrum disorder, affects about 1 in 36 children in the United States, influencing how people communicate, learn, and experience the world. But autism is not a limitation. It's a different way of thinking, creating, and connecting, empowering everyone in the autism community to live fully and by by everyone, we mean every unique individual.
This is Greg Kelly. This month, we practice acceptance, whether in schools, workplaces, or communities. Educate yourself and others to break down harmful stereotypes. Support organizations and programs that provide resources, advocacy, and opportunities for individuals on the spectrum. Small actions can make a big difference.
This Autism Awareness Month, let's move beyond awareness. Let's choose understanding, acceptance, and action. It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, starring Vic Ferrari.
Detective Vic Ferrari.
On Another Side of Midnight.
Detective Vic Ferrari.
Detective Vic Ferrari.
On tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, just hours after the Artemis II mission successfully launched from its historic deep space lunar flyby, the four-person crew experienced a problem with the Orion spacecraft's high-tech toilet. Now, the Artemis II's mission specialist, Christina Koch, the only woman on board the 10-day mission, first reported the issue to Mission Control not long after Wednesday night's breathtaking liftoff from Kennedy Space Center. The toilet fan is reportedly to be jammed, NASA spokesman Gary Jordan said during a live mission commentary. Now the ground teams are coming up with instructions on how to get the fan and how to clear that area and revive the toilet for the mission. Norm Knight, what an interesting name, NASA's director of flight operations, explained that the malfunction was due to a controller issue on the toilet. Officials confirmed the space potty could still be used for number two, just not number one. The fecal condition of the toilet, that specific capability, can still be used with the waste management system above the Orion. Now, the new toilet aboard the 330-foot cubic Integrity spacecraft was to offer the cramped astronauts the tiniest bit of privacy on their journey around the moon. Astronauts at zero gravity will float into the phone booth-sized stall and use a hose to dispose of urine and perch on an industrial-looking toilet seat to poop. The feces get sucked down the bottom into a bag, and you close that off and squish it down a canister, Hassan explained. Those canisters will ride back to Earth for disposal after the mission is over. The urine, meanwhile, is flushed out into the void. You know, this brings me back to many years ago when I was a little boy traveling on Amtrak. My dad had crashed the car in Charleston, South Carolina, and the only way back with our budget was to take an Amtrak back. Aboard the 12-hour flight, we had to change trains in Philadelphia. And I remember at one point using the bathroom, and when you flushed, I could see the tracks. And I said, as a little boy, geez, I can't believe that everything that we do in here goes down out there on the tracks. One thing's for sure aboard this historic spacecraft, with a lady astronaut on board, they're going to have to really mind their P's and Q's, and hopefully ground control is able to get a hand on this thing and fix the bathroom. Because there's nothing worse, A, when you got to go and there's no bathroom, or even worse, you find a bathroom and it's not working and it's broken. I'm retired NYPD detective turn author Vic Ferrari with Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's, 55 minutes past the hour, 5 minutes before the hour. You know, if you have a kid under the age of 30, they don't know how to read analog clocks. The biggest problem that came out with all of these school systems that have come up with this insane idea to take away iPhones, to take away cell phones while kids are in school. It's a terrible idea. But there was a side effect that they did not anticipate. And the side effect is that when you take away their iPhones, they didn't know what time it was. They couldn't read the analog clocks. They didn't know what time it was. They had always gotten their time from their cell phone. Taking away cell phones in school is way on the dumb list. There are a lot of reasons. But the major reason is it says that the school, the public schools, have not figured out how to put their curriculum on the phone. If your audience is going somewhere, you go where the audience is. Axiom number one in show business, go to the crowd. If the crowd is there, that's where you go. The worst thing you can do is try to build a crowd, is try to create a crowd. That never turns out too well. There'd be like three people. There are radio stations that say, well, and today we're going to do our remote from the Andrews Mall. Really? Why? Yeah, we're going to be there and give away T-shirts. And then there's like a sad card table and one person there, and it's not good. And it's the same thing with the cell phones in the schools. The best thing that can be done with the cell phones is not to take them away. Don't take them away. It just starts the day with a resentment and ends the day with a problem. What do you mean a problem? The problem is that through the day, those kids would be keeping in touch with their friends, with their family for 2 or 3 seconds between class, between tests, between readings. They'd answer it real quick. Done. Now they get home and they've got an hour of social media to catch up on. And when they have an hour to catch up on of social media, what happens? That happens first. The social media checkup happens first. And then the homework happens later. And it's worse. They don't do as good a job because it's later. They're tired. It's worse. There are other problems with it. But I say the major opportunity is if you know all your kids are on their cell phones, then put your classes there. Put your curriculum there. Put your homework there. Yes, some teachers do, and congratulations to them. You and I were talking with the John Catsimatidis and Congressman Matthew Gaetz about William McCaslin. William McCaslin, the major general who disappeared. He was in charge of the military aspects of UAPs and UFOs, and he was like the guy. Everything that happened in the military relative to UFOs, UAPs, and taking back recovering craft, well, he was in charge of. Well, there's new information that resurfaced about his disappearance. A longtime friend and professional colleague says he's just baffled about what may have happened to the retired Air Force Major General. A tech developer said he first met McCaslin in the early 2000s when the officer ran a space vehicle program. He said many were impressed by McCaslin's intelligence. If there was a room full of people, everybody would gravitate toward him. His wife reported her husband missing when she returned home, found he was gone, leaving his many personal effects. She says the only way that he would have left his phone and his watch is if he didn't want to be found, because his watch had GPS, his phone had GPS. He left those so he would not be found. But what did he? Red Apple Audio Network.
Is another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGuirk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
I found it amazing that a former United States Congressman, Matt Gaetz, would be so candid and straightforward with us and explained, hey, you know what? They sat down with us and told us that they were doing alien-human hybrids. Why? To make it possible for us to communicate better with aliens that are here and other possible aliens. To make it possible for us to communicate with aliens, they were making an alien-human hybrid. Well, that means they had an alien. They had an alien in order to make a hybrid. Now, I saw the X-Files obsessively. I understand the challenge. Let's you and I talk. 800-848-9222. Walter Sterling with Donald in upstate New York, where it's what is it, like 12 below? Is it 12 below right now? You know, there are two seasons in upstate New York, winter and the 4th of July. Hello, Donald.
Hello. How are you, Walter? And welcome, everybody, on the Midnight Show here, Other Side of Midnight. I'm an amateur radio operator. My call sign is KD2QQV. And I have an idea of what these UFOs and these aliens may be. Talking about the unidentified flying objects, I would say they're cherubims. They're not even they're cherubims. And of course, we all know that a cherubim is a mystical object. And I think that's what they are. They're cherubims.
Well, Donald, I respect you, and I respect you and like you. Where does the word cherubim come from? You'll have to excuse me. I went to public schools. I only went to Syracuse University. I didn't go to any fancy school. I don't know what a cherubim is.
A cherubim is a mystical vehicle. It's a spiritual ship. We'll call it a spaceship. It's a spiritual spaceship, and that's what they are. They're spiritual spaceships designed to overlook the galaxies.
Wow. Wow, that's a beautiful word. I'm going to let you go, but first, can you spell that word for me? Because I've never heard that word before.
Yes, I think it's spelled C-H-U-R, I-B, cherubim, I-M, something. I think that's how you spell it, in that way. You'll see, you look it up. Google it or whatever you would like to how to find it. And thank God you took my call tonight because Dominic Carter had me on hold for quite some time. So
I really
thank
can't
you very much.
I can't get involved with Dominic Carter, please. I'm very nervous about Dominic. Thank you very much for the call. Every time I hear his name, I get very nervous. Carl, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Hi.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I've got a question regarding the interaction between humans and aliens to produce the hybrids. I was wondering if any information was gotten regarding how it was done in terms of whether it was voluntary, involuntary, and in the usual way.
Thank you. That is a great question. We didn't learn anything about this, partly because at this point in time, whether or not there are aliens and humans being bred, we're still at the radio fact stage. Sounds good. You know, radio sounds good. Facts? Hard to say. Dave Scott, a known Canadian. Dave, welcome to Another Side of Midnight. Dave, do you hear this incredible story about Matt Gaetz, former U.S. congressman, being informed when he was in Congress by official types that the government was in fact breeding humans and aliens in order to get to know the aliens in such a way it would be easier to communicate with them and their friends?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're acting like this is shocking news. In my world, it's what is shocking about it is that it wasn't. It was being done by on American basis. That's the shocking one about it, Walter, is that it was being done by this alleged kidnapping of people, where they were taking people from third world countries, taking people from war zones and maybe the destitute and lonely, and taking them to do these experimentations on with aliens. If this story is true, I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it isn't, but if this story is true, it really is a story that needs to be blown up around the world. I mean, this story is absolutely horrific, that apparently these bases are out there. There's up to 14 of these bases where Americans are holding aliens in captivity and bringing in these captured humans to see what happens. Now, how did they do it? Well, the alien grays, if it is with the alien grays, allegedly, according to people who have had interactions with them, cannot breed. Their ding-a-lings don't work. Let's just put it that way, I guess, if they even have them. I don't know. But what apparently happens, Walter, is when they have, what they do is they take the DNA from a woman or a man that's human, and they crossbreed it with their own, and that's basically a test tube baby. So that's kind of how it works.
Now, Dave Scott is the host of Spaced Out Radio. It's a national show in Canada. But unlike a lot of people who do radio shows about extraterrestrials, UAPs, hybrid experiments, Dave's a researcher. He's a journalist. And he's been at it for quite a while. On his show, he has top guests, as I do. But to save a lot of time and trouble, I just have Dave on. And that covers all of his top guests. But we all found it interesting that Congressman Matt Gaetz was on the show moments ago.
Yes.
To talk about this and to say, hey, this happened. But I keep going back to the essential moment. And the essential moment is this. If they have felt the need to say, hey, we're doing alien-human hybrids, that means the aliens are here.
Yes.
By definition, it means the aliens are here, that they have a need to communicate with them, and they're going to extraordinary lengths to communicate with them.
Yeah, I mean that communication has allegedly been going on for hundreds of years. What really shocked me about it is the fact that look, I know people, and Walter, you know, I've been very open that I have been taken.
And yeah, you have to stop. With respect, you have to stop and rewind and explain exactly what you mean and what happened and how often. Would you do that for the listener, please?
Absolutely. So I am not only a journalist, but the one thing that got me really into this type of programming was I have personally come out as being somebody who has been abducted by the extraterrestrial phenomena. I have been taken, as far as I know, about 8 or 9 times that I have recall on. And it is something that is absolutely terrifying and scary when you know that you have zero control and all of a sudden you are surrounded by these ET dudes that are kind of in your bedroom. They get you everywhere, whether it's in your bedroom or in when you're out camping. Or I've never been taken while I was driving or anything like that, thank God. I don't ever recall having any missing time, but it is something that is incredibly, incredibly stressful and scary at the same time. So I've talked to a lot of people and interviewed a lot of people, including some close friends who have been taken as well. And I've had friends who are very much into the alien hybrid program, especially women, where these alien beings, when they take the women, they will take them up into the craft and they will take their eggs from their ovaries. For men, I mean, we're all familiar and we all laugh at the idea of anal probing. This is where they go in through the rectum and massage the prostate to get the man to ejaculate. No, that has not happened to me.
How do you know it wasn't happened to you? How do you know?
Because I've never had a sore butthole when I get back.
I think it's a fair comment. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, sir. And so, but the most famous case of that being Whitley Strieber from his 1980s book, Communion. Okay, where he talks about that. And the funny part about that, on a sidebar, is the first ever episode of South Park was about Whitley Strieber and Communion, the Communion book about the anal probing, where one of the characters actually has a satellite come out of his rectum. You know, to me, it's funny. You know, I don't know. Just no, throwing that out.
I'm sorry. I was doing something really important. I was pushing buttons. No, I heard you, and that is funny. But anyway, go ahead with the probing story.
So when it comes to the anal probing, is they will take the sperm from the men and the eggs from the women, or even, Walter, at times, this is where it gets a little bit messed up too, is they will take people up on craft and they will say, pull a human from, let's say, New York. And they'll take a man from New York and say a woman from Moscow. Okay, and they will breed them up in, so you'll actually have sex with the person up in space, wherever they take you, okay, and then the lady will get pregnant. And then after a few months of showing her, you know, going to the doctor, testing positive for pregnancy and all this, after a few months, like usually 3 to 4 months, the embryo will disappear.
Yes. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio. Ed, Babylon, Long Island. Welcome to Another Side of Midnight with Dave Scott and Walter Sterling. Hello, Ed. Hi.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Walter. Thank you, John. Thank you, the Senator. I have two stories for you. One's a personal sighting, and one is from patients that came into the hospital. Personally,
which hospital?
I was on the Stony Brook University Hospital.
Thank you.
Okay. I was on the North Shore of Long Island on a jetty with a nice, intelligent girlfriend looking up at the sky, and there was a white light passing across. I've always seen this up in the Adirondacks where it's so clear you can see a satellite go across. This passed at a normal rate of speed, and it zigzagged to the left, to the right, to the right, to the left, got bigger, smaller, then bigger, went poof. And I said to myself, there's no way she could have been looking at the same part of the sky as I was. And I got a jab at her ribs, and she said, did you see that? So it was confirmed, and that's all I have to say about it.
You know, Ed, a jab to the ribs from and thank you for the call, a jab to the ribs from an otherwise intelligent girl, I would say that would confirm any sighting. Thank you very much for the call, Ed. It's 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, Walter Sterling. This is Another Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
On a star-spangled night, my love, Sterling will come on the air. You can listen to him for free, as he plays his kazoo, my love, Sterling, every damn night, for me and you.
All right, there's Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. Great website, spacedoutradio.com. And there's Dave at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Dave, talk to Dave.
Hey, hi there. I've been compelled to call in and attack this from a different angle. In my humble opinion, there are no such thing as extraterrestrials in an evolutionary paradigm. And if you had me on as a guest, I could prove to you in 1,000 different ways why we could not have spontaneously manifested. These are angelic beings from the biblical paradigm. And if you want to learn about this, you must look into Genesis chapter 6 and follow that rabbit trail.
Dave, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it at 800-848-9222. Dave Scott, what do you have in your merchandise? What kind of merch do you have at spacedoutradio.com/shop? And no, I don't get a cut, but your merchandise is really good.
Well, thank you very much. I have everything from T-shirts to hoodies to underwear with my face on them. I have socks and mugs and that actually fit into a cup holder. Walter, you have one of those.
It actually fits into a cup holder.
It fits into a cup holder. Hard to believe. And, you know, I got a little bit of everything, ball caps and sweaters and anything I really want to make, I just make it. But nothing's ugly. That's the one thing I like about it. I don't have anything ugly in there.
No, your designs are really good. Now, at the moment, in Spaced Out Radio, in the Spaced Out Radio community, what is the driving dominant topic? Is there a common subject that keeps coming up the past few weeks that must be dealt with, that must be heard, Dave?
Absolutely. It is 100% about UFO disclosure right now. You know, these latest comments by Matt Gaetz, as well as Congressman Tim Burchett, are absolutely on par for topic. I mean, this is weird, Walter. And what's weird about it is we would go weeks, if not months, waiting for somebody to respond on some UFO topic. And now all of a sudden it's like it's in the daily news cycle. You know, and on X, there's always somebody, whether it's Eric Burleson, the congressperson, Tim Burchett, Anna Polina Luna, Nancy Mace, even the president himself, somebody is always seeming to talk about this subject recently from a political background. And if I could please address what your caller said just right before you asked me that question about them being angelic beings. There's a couple of notions on that. Number one, and I am a creationist as well, so I also want to state that we don't know what else God has made.
Are you Amish?
No. I'm Ukrainian Orthodox, to be
Mennonite?
Blunt.
Are you Mennonite?
And half Mennonite, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do your women dress as Mennonites?
My mother's side, yes.
And how did they explain that at the socials?
I don't know. They were always boring sitting on the couch or making the most fantastic dinner you've ever had.
When I started to have my 14-year-old be homeschooled, when they said, you know, homeschool would be a very good alternative for her. It would be a very good option for her, for my autistic, apraxic 14-year-old. My first flash was every homeschool kid I ever knew seemed to be being raised by Mennonites, and they all dressed in clothing that hit their feet. There were no leg was exposed on the boys or the girls. These are just my very prejudicial points of view.
I have cousins like that.
How do you deal with them at holidays? Can you play sports with them? Can they play sports like that?
Well, I talk aliens, man. They don't really talk to me.
That's a good point. Barry in Westchester, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling and Dave Scott. Hi, Barry.
You guys are frightening me with these UFO stories. You know, it's so crazy that the people are fascinated by it. But, you know, it's certain things are fascinating. Like these countries like China, they have these birthright vacations where people come and give birth and they run back. Well, someday, I'm going to ask Scott, someday, will we send 50 million absentee ballots to China? Are we going to do that someday?
Barry, how did you manage to drag this back to politics, which is really boring? I was taking it towards something far more interesting, right at the edge of the cliff of American broadcasting, and you've managed to drag it back to ballots. Do you have any other approach, any other POV, Barry?
Yes, the thing with UFO, anything could be an unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it came from another galaxy. But let's face it, we have never been visited. No one's ever proved, no one's ever shown us anything. So this is a cottage industry that some people are making a lot of money. Not a lot of people, but
well,
some people.
Who's making a lot of money? Because I don't know any of them. But I believe you and I agree with you. So who's making a lot of money?
Well, I don't want to mention you. I'm not going to mention the guy's name. He's on another station, but he dedicates the whole show to, you know, little green Martians you know, wearing, you know, headbuds.
Barry, I'm disappointed that you'd even know about another show. Here I am, busting it to provide high-quality, unique, original broadcasting, and you're dialing around. That, you're cheating on me, Barry. Thank you very much for the call. I'm shocked that he's dialing around.
That's
Dave
insulting.
Scott, isn't that insulting, Dave?
Just insulting. I didn't know. I thought you were the only show going right now in North America.
I believe there are only like two live shows going right now, and the other one is asking for donations. Dave Scott, how do we find you on YouTube? Every show Dave Scott has ever done is on YouTube, and how do we hear that?
Spaced Out Radio. The only thing I ask in return for my beautiful free programming about aliens that don't exist, according to Barry, it is for free on YouTube, and just hit subscribe. That's all I ask.
You're a good friend, Dave Scott. Thank you very much for being on Another Side of Midnight. You and I are on WGN in Chicago at 30 minutes past the hour, 30 minutes past the hour on the Red Apple Audio Networks. My phone number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Ross Coulthart is a reporter, a journalist, an award-winning broadcaster for News Nation. And Ross has the updates on conspiracies that fascinate you and me. Ross Coulthart.
I'm fascinated to be able to bring you a story tonight that I have to attribute to, of all people, a former member of the Armed Services Committee, the former Florida congressman, a controversial figure, Matt Gaetz. He's gone public with the most extraordinary allegations, and it's interesting, it's one of the perennial allegations of ufology, the claim that there are alien-human hybrids, the claim that there is some kind of genetic tinkering going on by non-human intelligences with humans. And look, it's something I've never really given a lot of currency to, but I'll tell you honestly, in the last few months, I've had an enormous number of people come to me describing quite disturbing incidents where they describe what sound like abductions. And a lot of the time it's men describing that their sperm seems to be being taken. Women are describing invasive procedures that sound like eggs are being taken. And I've never known as a journalist, you know, it's one of those stories you stay away from because it's just, oh my goodness, it's just so scary to even engage with it because it makes you sound like a tinfoil hat nutter. Enter Matt Gaetz. So Matt Gaetz, the former U.S. congressman from Florida, did an interview on a show called The Benny Show. It's a podcast just in the last day or so. And here's a section from that interview. Matt Gaetz said, I had someone come to me and brief me who was in a uniform, a military uniform, who worked for the United States Army. He briefed me on the locations of hybrid breeding programs where captured aliens were breeding with humans to create some hybrid race that could engage in intergalactic communication. An actual uniformed member of the United States Army briefed me on that. And then later on in the same interview, he said, I had a guy who was uniformed. He was a senior enlisted with the U.S. Army, came into my office at Crestview, Florida, in a non-classified setting. There were members of my staff there. And what they explained is that the military are running a very secret program where aliens are living in forced breeding programs with humans that have been abducted from war zones and from the caravans of migrants. Now, I didn't verify this, says Matt Gaetz. But what the whistleblower was telling me is that there are like between 6 and 12 locations around the country where this happened. And what he wanted was for members of Congress to show up at the same time so that any of these activities could be captured and not be moved away before we saw them. And of course, it's a physical impossibility to get members of Congress simultaneously anywhere at any one time anyway. So it's a very weird allegation, but I will tell you, it's something that keeps on bobbing up in my research, this claim that there are breeding programs. And frankly, at the moment, with all of the ongoing revelations that the president is about to make admissions about UAPs, about UFOs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, I'm starting to wonder if the US government's being very coy about what it knows, because what it's been doing is just totally reprehensible. Have they indeed? You know, I think Mr. Gates is, shall we say, historically, he's not been a very reliable politician. But there is a real question mark in my mind as to whether there might be something to this claim that there are hybridized aliens. Quite a few people in my research have said to me that there are beings that live amongst us humans, that look human but aren't. And there have been other politicians in recent months, Tim Burchett and others, who've talked about rumored highly classified US government programs and how they're pushing for the truth of those programs to be revealed. And historically, there have been allegations made by UFO whistleblowers, none of whom have been taken seriously, really, who've come forward with these claims of genetic manipulation. And I guess I go back to the interview I did with News Nation with a guy called David Grush, a very highly respected former very senior soldier who was working for the National Geospatial Agency. And he acknowledged that there are recovered biologics, alien beings, and the suggestion being that there has been research done with these beings. I don't know what to make of it, but I throw it out there because now we have an august former senior member of the Armed Services Committee, former Congressman Matt Gaetz, talking about it quite openly and saying he wasn't able to verify it, but is it possible it's true? Frankly, in this current environment, the way the world's going, I'd believe anything right now. Gates has previously come out publicly and talked about a slightly less controversial incident at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, where he tried, in the company of Tim Burchett and a couple of other congresspeople, he tried to interview pilots, military pilots, who'd come forward and wanted to talk about their encounters. And he was blocked by the commander of Eglin Air Force Base, the U.S. Air Force Base in Florida. And I've verified that. I've found that that is true. I know that there were pilots that were seeking to speak to Mr. Gates and that they were blocked in their efforts to engage with these people. So I like you do, I admire Gates for being fearless. He's often been a bit of an idiot sometimes. I think he's been very indiscreet in his personal life. But the allegations of alien-human hybrids are long-standing in ufology. They've rarely been made by individuals as prominent as Mr. Gates, who's got his former U.S. congressman position. But you can imagine, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, which is meant to be cleared to all of the most highly cleared secrets in the U.S. military, I can imagine, as a congressman, you do get many people coming to you with allegations that often just can't be verified. And how do you, if you're a member of one of those committees, set out to verify claims like this? There are figures who have occasionally referenced what are called non-human biologics being retrieved from crashes, which we take to mean either living or dead alien bodies. But there are pre-modern ancient stories of gods or beings interbreeding with humans. It's very much part of a book called the Book of Enoch, which is a biblical chapter which was taken out of the current versions of the Bible. And it made allegations of gods interbreeding with humans. And there are bodies that were allegedly recovered from the so-called Roswell crash. And if you go right back in UFO history, George Adamski and others have talked about Nordic aliens, and there've been periodically people who've come forward with stories of not only breeding programs, but in the 70s to the 90s, one of the most incredible stories that was circulating in ufology were these allegations from people of so-called abduction narratives, where women particularly were describing, in some cases, and I've interviewed some of these people, I find them very persuasive, phantom pregnancies. A woman would be diagnosed and you know, assessed as pregnant by a doctor. She'd have all the tests showing she was pregnant. In a couple of the cases I've spoken to, they actually saw their fetuses on ultrasound. And then, mysteriously, the pregnancy's not there anymore, and there's no miscarriage, there's no indication that they've lost the child. There are a lot of books where people have come forward alleging hybridization programs, and it's interesting because if you go back to the allegations that have made historically, there are allegations of hybrids and aliens, and I know it sounds preposterous, but I'm throwing it out there because I am really struck by the fact, I've had meetings as recently as a week or two ago, I spoke to somebody very senior in the FBI who'd had a personal experience where they woke up in the middle of what they believe was some kind of procedure, and they've told me they would never go public with these claims, but they described essentially him and his wife in their bedroom being frozen in a state of paralysis and having their genetic material, sperm or eggs, clearly being taken from them in what was clearly some kind of invasive procedure. It sounds horrendous, but if you consider the possibility that, as President Trump has acknowledged, there are things about UAPs that are very highly classified, maybe, just maybe, this is what it's all about. There's a very interesting analysis that's been done by a highly reputable, I think he calls himself a bioanthropologist, called Professor Michael Masters. And Michael's come up with a theory that the humanoid beings that feature prominently in alien stories, people like Greys, Nordics, and other humanoids, that the chances of that happening by evolution, by random mutation, are extremely unlikely. So he hypothesizes that they are actually our relatives, our ancestors, or sorry, our descendants, and that basically what's happening, the reason he speculates why they might be coming back in time to extract human material, is because there's something that they don't have, that they have lost, that they see in this generation of humans. And he's openly speculated that it's biologically, evolutionarily unlikely that in another part of the universe, humanoid beings with binocular eyes, ears, nose, structures very similar to human beings, Homo sapiens sapiens, would just evolve. And even though they are different from us, the beings that are represented in contemporary ufology, the speculation is that they are in fact related to us, and that the most plausible explanation is that these beings are doing something to recover DNA or genetic material that they are in some way deficient in. And I find some credibility in that theory because Michael Masters is no slouch. He's a highly respected academic, and he's published several books on this. And frankly, I think it should be given some currency because we are, I do believe, on the crest of an announcement by the US government where the president, once he's got this dreadful war in the Middle East out of the way, he's promised that he's going to be open about UAPs. He's promised to tell the truth about what the US government knows about alleged non-human life, NHIs. And I know from my own sources that the US government knows a lot more than it has ever publicly admitted before now. I have spoken to people in the US military, and I've also spoken to researchers who've spoken to witnesses who claim to have seen this. There are claims of unfriendly, malevolent beings that have literally taken pieces of humans. And I've spoken to military people who claim that they've been on retrieval teams where they've found human organs and limbs, non-human craft. And I wonder sometimes whether this is the reason why we're not being told the truth, because I know there probably are a lot of people out there who are sitting there in their armchairs and their beds thinking this all sounds like crazy nonsense. But if you heard what I heard on a daily basis from witnesses, people alleging that they've been abducted, experiences, there's such a commonality to their experiences. And if you combine those experiences with what I've heard from people who are in the military, people who've shown me their DD214 records, their records of service, who've confirmed to me with identity cards and other data that they've served at very secure, sensitive installations, I do believe there are things going on that are indicative that there is something engaging with this planet that is not always friendly. And in fact, one of the greatest incidents that's been so well recorded by the Brazilian military is a series of incidents that took place around a place called Colares in Brazil. And the Brazilian military tracked the most extraordinary incidents where humans were being killed, their organs were being taken, and it looked like they were craft that were in some way seen hovering over communities, in some cases trying to abduct young girls, young women particularly. And it was vile if it's true, but there were bodies found, and there are these horrific pictures that I've seen from the Brazilian army reports showing holes cut into human chests where from which appears organs have been extracted.
Hey, Walter Sterling, this is your cousin Breezy. Listen, I think that it's time that you took a little break, so I'm going to play a song that I actually introduced years ago right here on WABC Radio. So, Walter, hit the trail, and I'll take care of business.
It's a beautiful morning.
Saturday.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
How the Red Apple Audio Network's Another Side of Midnight.
WABC, the biggest all-night show in American radio.
In American radio with Walter Sterling. Every Saturday, every Sunday, live radio doesn't exist. It's practically illegal. It was practically made illegal. Here, listen to this. That's not Morse code. When the war in Iran started, these mysterious signals started around the world. Nope, not Morse code. Mysterious signals. Now, you know about CONET signals because you're up at 4 in the morning on the East Coast. You know what they are, right? Around the country, around the world, on shortwave, there are radio stations that just broadcast really bizarre stuff. And it is believed that the songs that they play and the Morse code they play and the little secret things that they say are signals, information for the spies of various countries, notably Middle European countries, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Bohemia, all of those countries that don't exist anymore. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they send out really weird signals that it is believed are keys for spies. But the one that I'd never heard before was this. Look, you're in Illinois. That's Farsi. These are Farsi numbers stations. They're called numbers stations. They're sending that out, probably as secret messages, to their spies. But the most fascinating thing about numbers stations, and again, these are all around the world, on shortwave, get a shortwave radio. And you don't even have to get the radio anymore. You just search for a shortwave app, and you can tune to any shortwave station in the world. And you will hear live number stations just giving out numbers, singing strange Chinese songs, playing songs in reverse. And allegedly, these are signals to spies. Now, it seems to me with the internet and cell phone and smoke signals, there are a lot of other ways to get messages to spies. I'm surprised that the number of stations still exist, but they are proliferating. That's what's so cool about them. They are 24 hours, 7 days a week, conspiracy channels. That's what they are. They are conspiracy stations. You go listen to them, and you will be like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know, for example, how it's possible that after September 11th, how is it possible after September 11th, on about three blocks from the World Trade Center, a jet engine was found? And it was assumed that that engine, blah. You know, I can't eat key lime pie and then go on the air. Would you please remind me of that? Could you get me a memo? No key lime pie and then going on the air. They found a jet engine near the World Trade Center about 2 days after 9/11. That would make it 9/13. Except the jet engine was not from any airplane suspected of flying into the World Trade Center.
To this day, the FBI investigations have failed to produce a single serial number part from a single 9/11 airplane. Not one.
The only other thing that was found was the engine on Murray Street. And the engine on Murray Street has been identified as either a CFM-56 or the CF-6, but whichever one it was, the CF6 or the CFM56. It had to be General Electric. And unfortunately, or fortunately, United Airlines used strictly Pratt & Whitney. So that engine that you see flying off, and that engine they say is from 175, isn't from 175, because the guy's whose job was to dump it off there, you know, in a smoking, smoldering thing, dumped off the wrong engine.
One of the hardest things about doing this radio show is that I hear things like that all night, and I always want two things. I want a cigarette, and bourbon. And here are the two problems. I never smoked cigarettes, ever in my life. I am the only person you know who's never even smoked a joint. I have never done illegal drugs. I happen to believe they should all be legal. You kill yourself any way you want. It's not my problem. But the fact is that I want a cigarette. There are certain songs and stories that make me want a cigarette, usually by Frank Sinatra or Ella Fitzgerald. And then I think, oh, yeah, but you never smoked. I had like one or two cigarettes. Like, this is the most disgusting thing. I could never be in the show Mad Men. Like, this is the most horrible thing ever. So I never smoked cigarettes. And I could have like one sip of bourbon, and then that would be it. Like, no thanks. I'm like the lamest person you know when it comes to recreational stuff. I've never been on a roller coaster. I don't understand sports. I don't understand football. A million people have explained to me what a down is. Flags, the whistles. It all totally confuses me. But I was close to the World Trade Center on September 11th, and I walked there when it happened, and I saw what happened, along with thousands of other Americans. And I lost two best friends there that day. I lost Captain Patrick Brown of the New York City Fire Department. He was a captain. He died running into the building, running up the stairs to save women. And an executive of Car Futures, Jim Paul. Car Futures, one of those venture funds. And Jim Paul was very interesting because in the weeks before September 11th, he kept complaining to me. He was a bond trader, stock trader. He kept complaining to me about Enron. He kept doing the homework on Enron, and he said, this is impossible. This can't be true. And he said he used to run to his bosses and say to his guys, this is not, there's something wrong with this company. I don't think he ever said to me fraud or whatever. But he said, there's something wrong with this company, and I don't think we should be in it. I don't think we should be involved with it. He said that, and it made him crazy for the weeks before he was murdered on September 11th. You and I will discuss that. Plus, I have an Iranian citizen to explain her perspective on the situation in Iran. 800-848-9222. Red Apple Audio Network, another side of midnight with Walter Sterling and you.
This is another side of midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
Michael Harrison, publisher of Talkers Magazine. It's the Bible of the talk radio industry. If you are fascinated by talk radio shows like this one, you can learn all about the secrets of them for free at talkers.com. And also, Michael is an existentialist. He's a student of the universe, a magician of the mind, and therefore fascinated by the Artemis spacecraft going into space, actually launching and successfully after decades going into space for a moon orbit. And their biggest challenge at the moment, Michael, seems to be the bathroom.
Yeah, I understand that they have a bathroom. Why, have you heard it's not working?
That's their biggest problem.
You know, in the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, Bowie was the oddity. Did you see that movie ever? Did you ever see that movie, 2001?
Absolutely, yes.
I figured you did. We all saw it one time or another. One of the scenes that got the biggest response from people when it was first in the theaters was when I think the guy's name was Floyd. He was on his way to the moon, and he was in a Pan Am sort of a shuttle. And they showed him sitting there reading this long list of instructions about how to use a gravity-free toilet.
Right, I mean, right.
Using toilets, drinking fluids, all of the little things that we consider to be just normal bodily functions are crazy when you're in a zero-gravity environment and you're out in space. It's just very difficult to run this thing called the human body when you don't have gravity. So bathrooms are an issue. Drinking is an issue. Water floats around in bubbles. You know, it's just an amazing thing. So here we are. We actually have humans as we speak. They're on their way. Sometime in the next couple of days, I'm not up on top of it like an astronomy professor. I'm sort of an enthusiast, a fan of astronomy and space exploration, the space program and all that. For those of us who were around back in the 60s and we remember Apollo 11, this is it's kind of exciting. And, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia attached to that. People get emotional when the candle goes off and heads out into the abyss. Do you find yourself
I share a human curiosity, and I think the thing that draws us to it repeatedly is we want to see the other side of the moon. We want to know, is there a settlement there? Do people live there? Are there aliens there? Are the rock formations completely different? Are the rocks themselves completely different? What the hell's on the other side of the moon? I think that's one of the great things we can expect from Artemis. What do you think?
Yeah, and also the south pole of the moon. We'll get a look at that. That's a place that we don't know much about.
Right.
Now, the moon, the fact that the moon is, you know, in sort of gravity lock with the Earth, that it only shows one side of the moon. We shouldn't call it the dark side. It's the far side of the moon.
Right.
With all due respect to Pink Floyd, the dark side of the moon does not exist. Both sides of the moon have equal light and darkness. But we always see the same side of the moon because it rotates on its axis at the same speed and at the same rate that the Earth goes around on its orbit around the sun. It's kind of interesting how that worked out. Yeah. And so we always see the same side. So, yeah, there's all kinds of speculation, you know, back to conspiracy theories, some of which are true, most of which are not, that all kinds of things might be going on the far side of the moon, aliens, secret bases, artifacts, who knows? Well, maybe we'll learn a little more about it, or maybe it'll be covered up by NASA.
What do you think it does to the mind of the human race when a rocket goes into space, goes around the moon, makes us completely think about a different span of the universe than we do day to day? Does it do anything to our minds? Does it do anything to our possibilities thinking?
How could it not? I mean, it's amazing. A lot of people are saying, especially at this time now when the world is suffering from such strife and lack of confidence in the future and anger at our own humanity and our own species and insecurity and violence and, you know, the danger of blowing up the planet. We're going to have views of the Earth that we've never seen before. One of the things that's very exciting to the astronomical community is that this trip is going to put us in a situation to take photos of the Earth from space. With people commenting on it, people who are there experiencing it, that shows us a different perspective of who we are, what we are, where we are, and how fragile and small we are against the backdrop of this endless ocean of space and darkness. It's pretty remarkable. So, yeah, hopefully it gives us a collective consciousness jolt of a new reality. I think other people just take everything for granted. And it is funny, once you start doing something a lot, it's taken for granted. I mean, everybody remembers the movie, you know, Houston, we have a problem, Apollo 13. By the time Apollo 13, two missions after Apollo 11 took place, people were already getting used to the idea, yeah, we go to the moon. That's what we do. Oh, there's another moon launch today. If it wasn't for the fact that it turned into an incredibly, you know, edge-of-the-seat, nail-biting adventure, that would have been no big deal. It was the problem they had that it was almost definite that those guys were going to die. That brought everybody's attention back to the moon program. But now, I'll tell you something, Walter. The fact that nobody died on their way to the moon of the various the handful of missions. And I think 12 people walked on the moon. The fact that they pulled them off safely is a miracle because they did that with scotch tape. I mean, they did that with.
Well, they did that with a computer smaller than your phone. Now, do you think immediately there's going to be the discussion of how much did this cost? Is this worth it? Do you think it's worth it?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and people will always debate that. We can't even settle our problems here. Why are we spending money to go there? And there's lots of different answers and arguments to that particular debate. But one of the reasons it's taking so long to go back, people say, why are they having so much trouble with this Artemis thing when we've already done this with less computer power than is in our phone? And we went there many times and we pulled it off. Why can't we do it anymore? And one of the handful of really important reasons why it's been so difficult to do, and we still hesitate to land those people on the moon itself. This is a flyby. We're making it sound like we're going to the moon, but we're really not landing on the moon. We're going around the moon and then coming back. One of the reasons has been is because we don't have the kind of money to spend on NASA and on the space program that we did in the 60s, because it was motivated by the Cold War with Russia. I mean, when Sputnik came, it was, I remember I was a little kid. I remember the headline, I think it was Newsday, I'm not sure. I grew up on Long Island, and it said, Russia wins the space race. And then there was a picture. I remember that as a kid, scared the hell out of me, because now they're going to drop bombs on us from the satellite. That's the way we fought back in those days. It was terrifying. So they spent a tremendous amount of money not to let the Russians get to the moon. Like, that would be some kind of an advantage in terms of our life and death struggle with Russia.
Yeah, and I've talked to NASA people who were working there at the time. That was the only reason that we went to the moon. It was not a scientific mission. It was very much a political mission. Michael Harrison, closing thoughts, something special about the fact that we are finally back in space orbiting the moon.
I hope it goes smoothly and those brave people come back safe and sound, because I'll leave you with this thought, Walter. Can you imagine how weird it must feel to be in this tin can, you know, quarter of a million miles away from Earth in deep, dark space on the far side of the moon? I mean, think about that. Oh, my gosh. It's hard to imagine.
Michael Harrison, publisher, editor, founder of Talkers Magazine. You can subscribe to it for free. A brilliant mind. Thank you very much for being a friend of The Other Side of Midnight.
Thank you.
Why do I always have trouble with this?
On WABC, the biggest all-night show on American radio.
Hey, that's how it's supposed to go every time.
On WABC, the biggest all-night show on American radio.
All right, now, more importantly, Jessica Simpson. Jessica Simpson, you remember what her father famously said and then disappeared? Yes, it's possible to say things and then disappear. And Jessica Simpson had a very public father. He was around all the time with his daughters and the other daughter, which was a nightmare. And I want to get this quote right. He used to hang around where is this thing? He used to hang around and say things like, those are double D's, baby. Those are double D's. He'd refer to his daughter to promote her. Those are double D's. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if your father was in public and anybody who got near you, any press type that got near you said, those are double D's, baby. Oh, my God. Well, now she's answering the tough rumors that she used to spend $1,000 a day on fake tans between the tanning beds and those horrible chemicals that make you orange. Oh, they're much better now. They're not much better now. I have terrible news for you. They're exactly the same as they've always been, just god-awful. Oh, they're much better now. No, they're really not much better now. Those are double D's, baby. Imagine that Thanksgiving. Imagine that Thanksgiving. We don't hear anything from Sidney Sweeney's father, do we? No, he's been locked away, told you not to. Sidney is so smart. She doesn't have parents. We don't hear anything about her parents. She tells one story about her mother when she was in middle school. And when she was 17, she said to her mother, I want to get breast reduction surgery. That's what Sidney Sweeney said. That would have been about a $25 million decision. And her mother said, why don't you wait till you're out of college to decide that? Now, how smart was that? How prescient was that? That Sidney Sweeney's mother said, why don't you wait till you're out of college? Brilliant. And then Sidney came to an epiphany. These are a lot of SAT words I'm using tonight. Epiphany, prescient, not present, prescient. And her mother said, wait till you're out of college. But $1,000 a day for tanning. And finally, yes, that's the headline of the article. Finally, Jessica Simpson answers questions about $1,000 a day tanning habit. Well, the answer is no. She said, no, I'd rather spend $1,000 a day lying on the beach in a really nice place or eating. She didn't have $1,000 a day tanning habit. She answered the rumors. Thank you, Jessica Simpson. Never once in my career reading pop culture did I ever hear or read that you had $1,000 a day tanning habit. But thanks for clearing it up. I certainly do appreciate that. Coming up next week on Another Side of Midnight, you and I are going to hear a conversation that I started to have it on the phone with this woman. I'm like, no, you need to present that on the air. My listener and I need to hear this from you. This is an Iranian woman who grew up in Iran. And at 16 and a half, what did she do? She complained about the government. They arrested her immediately and put her in jail for 2.5 years. Imagine being 16 and being put in a jail for 2.5 years. And your day was spent hearing your friends and fellow cellmates murdered by firing squad. By firing squad. And the way a firing squad works is the last bullets go to the head, and they are the loudest. That's how she spent her teenage years. We'll hear from her coming up next week on Another Side of Midnight. It's 20 past the hour, 20 past the hour, with Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
23 past the hour. Jake Novak coming up with an astonishing story of heroism. Wow. I better get that checked. The great heroes of our military. And one of the remarkable things that they did. And we're going to let Jake Novak reveal that story to you. It's just amazing. I have to say something about Jake Novak. No, I do. For many years, before I was a host, I was a suit. I wore suits. And most people, and this is something important to know, most people in your life who wear suits every time you see them, that's their only skill. They look good in a suit. I'm not even saying I look good in a suit. I'm saying that I wore a suit, and now I'm going to sit up. Brooks Brothers and wingtip shoes because I have orthopedic needs. I have very specific orthopedic needs. Not knees, needs. And I would listen to news people and disc jockeys and talk show hosts to try to help my clients, which were radio stations, radio networks, decide who to hire, who to promote. And I'm really proud of two things. I'm one of the few people who worked in the advisory capacities I did. I suggested the firing of almost nobody, like nobody. And the other thing I did, which no one else does, is I made news departments bigger. Every radio station, every company I worked with, I made news departments bigger because I seem to be the only person in American radio or TV that knows that the entertainment part of a business of radio and television benefits from the news department. Because when you have news people working there, they know what's going on. And they'll tell the disc jockey, the morning man, the late night host, they'll tell them what's going on. And they sound informed and they feel wired to the community because they are. You go into some of these radio stations, Lord knows, not the one you're listening to. The one you're listening to right now is wired to the city, knows what's going on, WGN in Chicago, KDKA in Pittsburgh, KMOX, Steve Moore's KMOX in St. Louis. Great radio stations. Well, those radio stations know what's going on. WABC New York knows what's going on. The first time I heard Jake Novak on WABC on the Red Apple Audio Networks, I'm like, oh my God, that's what it's supposed to sound like. It's a cut-through voice. Listen to him when he's on the radio, which is the only time you can listen to him. Jake Novak, when he's on the radio, he's in charge. He knows what's going on. It cuts through. And he has a personality. The big news people, radio or TV, for the past decades had big personalities. You knew what they felt. You knew what they thought. You had an idea of what their opinion would be of a given story, and that opinion never entered their coverage. And that's the difference. It wasn't their coverage. It never entered their coverage. It was a wink and a nod, and when necessary, it was clearer, but it was defined. And that's what made it compelling to listen to. Their opinion, their point of view, the way they wrote it, that's what made it entertaining. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if all you do all day is have one point of view all day and you're calling yourself a news person, you're not a news person. You're a freaking hack. And that's what I liked about Jake Novak the first time I heard him. You'll hear it. You'll get it right away because you're one of those smart people. But about Jessica Simpson. Now, Jessica Simpson has a large chest, and that's why one of her boyfriends referred to her as sexual napalm. Sexual napalm. That she made him crazy, just made him nuts. Every time she got near him, he was like John Mayer. It was John Mayer, that creepy John Mayer. Would you explain to me how John Mayer bedded Jessica Simpson and Taylor Swift? The Body is a Wonderland. That song did it. All you had to do is go, just get near the. Imagine you're John Mayer and you see a woman you like, you know, and you go into a bar. He wrote Your Body's a Wonderland. He wrote that song. Your Body's a Wonderland. And Tony, can you find that song for me so that I sound like I'm prepared and I prepped the show? Could you do that and pull that up? Sneak it under me like a great sound engineer that you are. I'm glad you don't know it. Your Body's a Wonderland by John Mayer. You know that song? You'll know it when. Yeah, you have it because you have every song there is. Every song there ever was is in that computer because it's WABC New York. Ding. And so imagine writing that song and women listening to it and go, oh my God, could you imagine if a man wrote that song about me? My body is a wonderland. And he walks up to a woman in a bar, just kind of looks around and he goes, and the woman turns around and realizes it's John Mayer, and he takes her home. Every time they realized who he was, they'd go home with him. Now, he wrote it about Jennifer Love Hewitt, just to be clear. There's some competition there with Jennifer Love Hewitt. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And it was a terrible song, but it was his only hit. He fills stadiums with that song. Women imagine that he wrote it about them. That's some scam he's got going on. That's enough. So there's that piece of garbage. That was his only hit. All he has to do is hum the hook. And any woman at the bar would turn around, look at him and go, oh, you're John Mayer. Yes, I'm John Mayer. I did it with Taylor Swift, and I did it with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I wrote that about Jennifer Love Hewitt. Can I go home with you? Yes. Will you write a song about me? We'll see, young lady. We'll see. Is that what kind of a scam life is that? But that's apparently Taylor Swift realized at some point much later in the cycle that it was a scam life. And she wrote a nasty song about him called Dear John on one of her daily albums. She comes out with a daily album. And since Shake It Off, since she wrote the song Shake It Off, Taylor Swift, in my opinion, all of her songs ever since have been garbage. Now, do not say to me, well, the Swifties are going to attack you, Walter Sterling. They're going to attack you for saying something bad about Taylor. Listen, Swifties, this is supposed to be an even deal. I'll say the songs since Shake It Off have been garbage. If you say that for years, when other disc jockeys, talk show hosts didn't even mention her, didn't care about her, I was saying, oh my God, that's the future. What an incredible talent she is. Got nothing in my brain. This is her last hit. You can turn that up. It's beautiful. Clever, bouncy, you can dance to it.
That's what people say. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be alright. Cause the players gonna play, 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 play. And my head's gonna hate.
How long do you think that that marriage with Travis is? They're not married yet. No, leave it up. This is good. It's better than anything else. I especially like when she gets to that rap part. You didn't get that you wanted was to work on her tour. Oh, here's $100,000 for driving a truck. Oh, here's $100,000 for setting up a flat. Oh, here's $100,000 for taking out the garbage. Oh my God. God bless her. Generous as they come. So much money she just didn't know what to do with it and decided to do the right thing with it. And by all accounts, no drugs. And by all accounts, no diva behavior. But that that boyfriend of her, he has, from the moment he entered her life till this very moment, outside of being on the football field, that Travis Kelce has no say. No say. He can't do anything without permission slips from Taylor. Here comes the good part of the song.
Shake, shake, shake. Yeah.
For my kazoo. Where the hell's my kazoo? There's a time when a man needs his kazoo. And that song deserves a kazoo. But that was... Oh, sure. Here it is. That was a great song, right? That was a great song. Now, what else did I want to show you? Now, I have to search for something. Just give me one second to deal with my unprepared show. You might think that it's unprepared, but believe me, it's unprepared. Hold on one second. Anyway, I think that after she did that song, it was done. It was a complicated video to make. Did you see the video? It was a great video, but it was complicated. And I think she was exhausted, and then she had to make another album. And I don't think she wanted to make another album. But she did, and the two albums after that, three albums after that, in my opinion, were terrible. And that the latest one she had, Dead Poets Society or Mr. Poet, I just think were terrible. Here it is. This should be good. You ready? Ready? You got your kazoo? Let's go. There's a better part here. Thirty-eight past the hour. with Walter Sterling on Another Side of Midnight. I believe that if a marketing company is serious about getting to the truth about what you want to buy, what they do is they have focus groups. And you've seen them in movies. Maybe you've gone to a focus group because you heard you could get a free sandwich. In your case, that was enough. You'd go there and get a free sandwich. Terrific, right? But the mistake they make is they have them at noon or 2 p.m. or, you know, when those people are out there, when the salespeople are out there, when the other people, the people who come up with forms and say, would you please fill out this form? Oh, we're really glad you're here. Would you please fill out this form? You get handed a form, and it's 48 pages long, right, Tony? It's 48 pages long. You have to fill out a form. Nobody who works right now, you and me, no one who's up at this time working overnights on the great shift, the truest shift, the best shift, we don't make forms. Never once have you and I ever said, hey, could you fill out this form for us? Because when we're in the office building, the factory, the door that says human resources, when we're here at this time is locked. Nobody in human resources works right now, do they? They should, but they don't. You and I work at a time when, no matter what the business is, you're working at the airport, you're in the lower level, the level that the public does not know exists at the airport, where there are train tracks underneath the airport to get us from one point to the other, to clean, polish, perfect one point or the other. Same thing with the train stations, the public schools, the high schools that we clean, the FedEx loading dock. All of this is special to us, and it's all focused on one thing, task. We go, we do what we're paid to do, and we go home. We don't have time to fill out forms because we know what's important, the task, the next thing that we have to do. Making the chairs in the beauty salon stop squeaking, that's a job you really can't do when anybody's there. You don't want to see them lying. You don't want people to see you lying on the floor, oiling underneath the chairs. It's not a good look. And then hair flying in you. All of the important things that take place in any city, in any community that keep it going, takes place right now. We are the people who get it done. What the marketing companies don't do that would be so smart to do would be to do their focus groups now. Not at noon, but now. Because one of the reasons I always wanted to share this time with you is I realized when I was a kid, the later in the day, the more honest adults became. And I don't mean because they got drunk. I mean because the later in the day, people got more honest. Adults got more, grown-ups got more honest. The later in the day, they got more honest. And that's what a focus group wants. They want honesty. They want to get to honest. It's very hard when you're sitting around a table with 12 people and tuna fish sandwiches, and there's that one over in the corner there. What was her name again? Caitlin? Yeah, I'm going to just spend a few extra seconds looking at Caitlin every time they talk to me, because I want to see how I'm doing with Caitlin at the focus group table. Is she married? Is Caitlin married? I can't tell. Oh, not important. I'll talk to her at the break. And you're thinking all that while I'm trying to find out from you if you like Campbell's soup. And you're worried about Caitlin in the corner and whether or not Caitlin might have some reason to talk to you other than to say, do they validate? Do you know whether or not they validate? And you think you're doing well because Caitlin has asked you if they validate, asked you. Hey, there were 11 other people there. She could have asked somebody else if they validate, but she asked me. I think I'm doing well with her. Meanwhile, you're both married. You're both idiots. But if they want the truth about Campbell's soup, this is the time to ask. Now, right now, if you're coming home from some event or you're about to go to work, and you have vaguely something to be in charge of with marketing, this is the idea you can bring and be a hero for at least 6 days. They'll think, wow, where'd you get the idea that we should do our focus groups at 3 in the morning? Well, I think people are more honest overnight. Really? Wow, that's fascinating. You can steal this idea. It's okay. You can steal the idea. You can steal the idea about when people are more honest from me. Not right now, no problem. Right now, no problem. I can't wait to have this conversation next week. This conversation with a woman who grew up in Iran, a native Iranian. And then at 16 and a half, the native Iranian said something that offended the government, and they arrested her. And they put her in jail for 2.5 years until she escaped to America. And during that time, she spent her days wondering when she was going to be executed because all of her friends were being executed. All of her cellmates, one a day, they would execute two or three people. They couldn't execute too many because it had such a negative effect on the morale of the guards. On the guards, the ones who had to do the shooting. It's a firing squad at Iranian jails, and it's very loud. But what she feels about what the great United States government is doing is worth hearing, and she'll be on next week on Another Side of Midnight. Jake Novak, brilliant news person, has some good news on Easter weekend, on Passover weekend. Jake Novak. Hey, Tony, how close are we to having Jake coming in? Because I'll start telling other stories.
I'm here.
Oh, my God. Listen to that cut-through voice. And do you know who endorses you?
I'm not sure who's endorsing me. Uh-oh. Do I have to disavow the endorsement? you don't want the wrong endorsement, you know what I mean?
There are only two powerful agents in American radio. Only two. And she endorses you.
Ah, okay.
Had a nice chat with her. Did not call about you. It magically came up when I was talking to her about Lee Harris, of all people. And no, she thinks very highly of you. The other agent suffers from being mine, that Craig Kitchen guy. And that's it. I don't know of anybody else. But listen, I don't want to drag this on. I want Jake Novak to share with us the incredibly good news that took place overnight.
You know, I want to leave with the drama. We were talking yesterday and other conversations we've had about the loss of drama in news broadcasting. You don't have to be partisan or opinionated to find the exciting stories and to let the audience know without telling them in so many words that this is an exciting and dramatic story. But this rescue of the second crewman that really just wrapped up a couple of hours ago successfully is not only to be celebrated. Of course, we're all breathing a sigh of relief because had the Iranians gotten to this guy first, you know, they would have made him a propaganda tool. God knows what they would have done to him and what they would have tried to extract from the United States to get him back. So, of course, that's the first sigh of relief. But, Walter, this is a movie script. I mean, if there are any good screenwriters left out there, I think Hollywood fired them all. I had a follower on X say that, and I think they're right, because I posted just a few minutes ago. If you're a good screenwriter, you are devouring every detail of this rescue that I'm going to try to provide as many of which for you, you know, when we start at 5 a.m. And writing the script now, because this is an amazing story. This is an amazing story. The crew member himself, he was the weapons officer on the downed F-15, did some heroic things himself to keep himself safe, and special forces on the ground, air forces did incredible work to get this guy safe, and apparently no casualties on our side or anything like that in the extraction effort or the rescue effort. So it's an amazing story already based on the few details we have. And I would hope that and what I'm hearing from everybody else in the news media right now, especially the other radio stations who are all mostly on tape with like a half minute cut in, is not only are they not reporting the story accurately, but there's no interest. And some of that might be because this sounds, you know, because they're probably upset that a loss for Donald Trump, it would have been a terrible loss for this administration if that guy had been captured. But it's also because, as I continue to maintain, more than just their partisanship, they're bad at their jobs. It's our job, Walter, to interest the audience and to stimulate the audience. And they seem to have forgotten that. And this one is easy. This is a fastball right over the plate. I know you like baseball, not football, Walter.
Thank you.
This is a fastball right over the plate, and you're looking dead red. And you're knocking this out of the park because this is an easy story to relay the excitement for.
I know you're going to give all the details coming up at 5 o'clock, but was he injured?
Well, of course they're bringing him into a... That's the first thing that happens when someone has been either a hostage or was captured or was evading capture. So I would assume there are some injuries involved. He was missing... it was about 36 hours from the time of the shootdown to the time of his rescue. He had to escape... capture himself for a while before he could send out an encrypted signal to be rescued. I would be surprised if he doesn't have minor injuries. He probably hasn't eaten properly in quite some time. And it's not exactly the best weather. It's not terrible weather. It's good this didn't happen in the dead of winter, but he was in the mountainous region. I can't imagine he wasn't wet, cold, and tired when they got him.
One of the things that I think everybody can agree on, if you've ever met a real pilot, an Air Force pilot, a military fighter pilot, or even a great commercial airline pilot who's been doing it for 35 years, and now he's secured the number one rank, and he only flies from New York to Hawaii twice a month, that guy. These are astonishing people because they define self-actualization. When they were in high school, they wanted to be a pilot. And now they got to be a pilot. We don't hear about, I'm sure they exist, but we don't hear about corrupt pilots. Because if they were caught being corrupt or committing fraud, they wouldn't get to be a pilot anymore and they wouldn't exist. Anybody who in high school gets to do what they wanted to do in high school and they live their life doing what they want to do in high school, those are the best people because they are who they dreamed of being. Nobody in high school dreamed of being in HR.
You know, we always end up talking about books, Walter, which is a good thing. That says good things about us. I highly urge everyone, one of the rare instances where there was a fantastic book and then a fantastic movie adaptation is The Right Stuff. Now, you're talking about Apollo 13.
Oh, my God.
To me, every space movie it pales in comparison to The Right Stuff. And that's not just because a classmate of my father's from University of Chicago, Philip Kaufman, directed the movie. Great movie. But the book by Thomas Wolfe is also very, very good. And he describes a little bit more of what you were just talking about. He describes why whenever you're on a jet flight, haven't you noticed the very calm nature of the captain?
Yes.
And this is true of the female captains these days, too. You can't believe how calm they are. And then they're calm also when they announce a little problem. Like, well, ladies and gentlemen, looks like the folks in air traffic control don't think our landing gear is going down. we're going to be. And just how they're always so calm. That is a major characteristic of being a pilot. They don't get crazy. One of my problems with the movie The Right Stuff is that everyone in the movie was so animated. No, that's not the way pilots are. They're much more chill, as we say today. And so I'm sure that this guy crash landing in Iran, which would freak everybody out. And I'm a pretty calm guy also. You know, years of overseeing live television had better make you a more calm person in a lot of situations. But that would freak me out, man. I mean, I would be absolutely beside myself. It would be really hard for me to think clearly. But these people are recruited and trained based on an inherent ability they have to remain calm even in the most frightening situations. And that's why when these veterans or when they're still in the service do that first news conference after they've done something incredibly heroic, sounds so nonchalant about it. Like, if you're expecting them to say, yeah, we got them, and don't. That's not the way it works.
I was on a shuttle flight from Washington to New York in a nasty thunderstorm the whole way, and the plane was full. And I'm on the aisle, and it's starting to bounce. It isn't starting to shake a little bit. It hit one of those pockets of air where it was like a roller coaster. It was bouncing, boom, 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 and it wasn't stopping. And I'm turning pale, and I'm scared. And I fly a lot, and I was scared. And then I look over to my right, and there is a Delta Airlines pilot, a senior Delta Airlines pilot in the crisp uniform with the hat on, reading the newspaper. And I look at him scared out of my mind, and he's reading the newspaper, and he's not looking up, and he finally catches my eye and goes, nothing to worry about, and then goes back to his newspaper. And of course, he was right, because he was the Delta Airlines pilot. They're amazing people, because they know everything that could possibly be going on, and he calculated immediately there was nothing going on, and the plane wants to stay up. That's their attitude. You know, that's what they all sort of say. They say, no, you don't understand. The plane wants to stay up. Okay, thank you.
I have all the respect in the world for, you know, we're constantly saying this cliche in America. I wish that our heroes were teachers and those kinds of people. And I have all the respect in the world for them. But when you consider the amount of responsibility and the rarity of personality that it takes to be a jet fighter pilot for a Western nation. And I say Western nation because even among some of our allies, a lot of the jet fighter positions go to nepotism candidates. That's why there were so many Saudi princes who ended up being jet fighter pilots. You know, here in the United States and in Israel and in some of the Western nations, to be a jet fighter pilot means you are the best of the best. And billions, literally billions of dollars have been invested in you. I mean, you fly one of those jets 10 or 11 times. That's it. You've hit the billion-dollar mark, you know.
All right, Jake Novak, Red Apple Audio Network, The Other Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling.
It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. It's Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's Walter Sterling.
All right, good evening. It's the Red Apple Audio Networks, The Other Side of Midnight, and a phone number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Coming up in just a few moments, Jake Novak with the top five stories at 5 o'clock. The news and information that you won't get anyplace else, for a very simple reason, is that no other station in this city actually has any news people. I'm going to tell you an ugly truth, but it needs to be said. I know of radio stations, for example, in Los Angeles, and I use Los Angeles specifically, that has a news image. And if you're listening to them, I can promise you that their news people, just for Los Angeles, doing local news, are in Phoenix. I couldn't make it up. When I was told it, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It isn't like they don't have the money. Jeez. We learned a lot today. You and I talked to Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, the former United States congressman, who was up to be the Chief Justice of the United States of America, and he shared with us the fact that he was told the government is conducting alien human hybrid experiments right now. All right, Jake Novak in just seconds on the Red Apple Audio Networks, Walter Sterling, Another Side of Midnight.
This is Greg Kelly. Donate now to Toys for Tots, which works year-round. Go to toysfortots.org. Toys for Tots supports children in need throughout the year with programs like the Toys for Tots Literacy Program. Established in 2008, it has provided over 63 million books to disadvantaged children. The Toys for Tots Literacy Program is committed to providing disadvantaged children with direct access to books and educational resources that enhance their ability to read and communicate effectively. Go to toysfortots.org.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.